And faith is what I'm going to define. The Oxford definition says that it's a complete trust in someone or something, a strong belief in God or doctrines not based necessarily on truth. The Bible defines it in Hebrews 11:1 as the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So I remember sitting one day and reading this and lamenting that I had no substance in my life or nothing to know as what I thought was substance. And then I read it again and it said, faith was the substance. So I had faith and I thought, so I must have substance. And even more than that, it is the substance of things hoped for. And what or who was my hope? My hope was in God. God is my substance. So I was really blessed. So where does this faith come from? And does everyone have it? Is it something we work up? The Bible says, I'm a hand person. I know, that's what I think. The Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. But it also says in Romans 12:3 that everyone has been given a measure of faith. If you doubt this, just think about your everyday life. You get up out of bed and you trusted that bed was going to hold you up, right? We used to have a bed when we were first married that crashed to the floor. We'd have to get up and fix it because the... I wasn't going to say that, but here. But you put your feet on the floor and you hope the same, that it's going to hold you up, or you sit in a chair or you start your car. And we know that one doesn't always work. And even taking a breath or trusting your heart to keep pumping or your brain to keep thinking, these are daily evidences of faith in us and in action. And notice how hope is clearly attached to it without even thinking of it. So again, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The Bible says in Romans 8:24 that hope that is seen is not hope. So what is this evidence not seen? The dictionary defines evidence as the available body of facts or information indicating whether a belief or a presupposition is true and valid. So the evidence of our faith, using our previous examples, would be the chair holds us up, the car drives, or our bodies work the way we think they're going to. Our faith acted upon what we believed. This is the God-given purpose to our trials. Imagine if our trials had no purpose, or if we thought or believed in something that wasn't true. The outcome of this would be disastrous. Matthew 7:21 says, "Not everyone that says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works?' And then I will profess unto them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity.'" This kind of faith would be devastating and not really known until it was too late. In the book of James, it says that faith without works is dead. You believe there's one God. Thou doest well. Well, the devils also believe and they tremble. In verse 21 and 22 of James, it also says that Abraham was justified by works when he offered up his son upon the altar. Seest thou how faith wrought with his works and by his works was made perfect? Abraham's trust in God was put to the ultimate test of believing that God could do what he said he would do and making the father of many nations through Isaac, and yet was asking him to sacrifice his son. Like Abraham, our trials can seem to be so severe. And yet, God has given us many promises that we hold on to in order that we may be able to stand in the trial. And standing doesn't mean performing, but simply holding on to what we believe and know. This is the difference between a real saving faith or one that just believes that there is a God. So although all have faith in something or someone, it does not mean that it's a redeeming, justifying, saving, sanctifying, steadfast faith in God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of the Bible. So our faith is tried, and we want to know what we are trusting. The Bible says that the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? In Proverbs 20, verse 5, it says that counsel in the heart of man is as deep waters, but a man of understanding will draw it out. To me, this passage defines what is happening in my struggles and trials and frustrations. The Lord is the only one of perfect understanding. He knows what's in us. We are the ones that fool ourselves into thinking that we are or have something that we don't. So he uses our experiences to draw it out. He exposes. He shines his light on these deep places. And as dross is skimmed off the top of silver being purged, the bad being dealt with, what is left? Beautiful silver. And what does silver represent in the Bible? Redemption. So our faith must be tried. It is not a one-time decision to believe in God. It is an ongoing relationship based on choice and commitment. And I must say it's daily. Just as in a marriage, when the situations or when vows are made between two people, the length of time and the situations faced bear out the reality of this devotion and loyalty. So too, our professed faith in God will prove itself along the way and in the end. Paul, in writing to Titus in chapter 1, declares that he is a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before the world began. The Christian hope has an eternal purpose. To Timothy, he exhorts to continue in the things which he has learned and has been assured of, knowing of whom he has learned them. Jesus says in the book of John that the Holy Spirit leads and guides us into all truth, that whatever he hears, he speaks. He glorifies Jesus in our lives. We are saved by grace through faith. And if you look at through faith, it says it 15 times in the Bible. Through being defined as moving from one side to another or continuing in time toward the completion of a process. Saving faith is an enduring faith, and it's in the one who has made to us the promise of salvation. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. We've been born into a living, abundant hope, reserved in heaven, and we are kept by the power of God. Speaking of his power, this is the trek I've been on lately. Did you know that there are over a trillion galaxies in our universe, and each having billions of stars in them? Just think about that for a minute. I mean, it's amazing. And in Psalm 147:4, it says that God knows the number of the stars, and he calls them all by names. So not only does he call all the stars by names, galaxies and trillions of stars, but all our hairs. You know, so I remember Rosemary, she used to say, "How big is your God?" Jeremiah 23:24 says, "Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him? Do not I fill heaven and earth? And when Solomon built a temple for God, But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven and heaven of heavens cannot contain thee, how much less this house that I've built in. And God tells us now that we are his temple, his dwelling place, and we abide in him. We are kept by his power, for without him we can do nothing. This abiding proves out the reality of our commitment and our faith. Real faith will continue to trust because God promises to keep us. Proverbs 27:21 states, as the fining pot for silver and the furnace for gold, so is a man to his praise. When this race is over, what we have been conformed to will bring God highest, purest praise. Ephesians 1:6 says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. 1 John 3, and we don't know what we will be, but we do know we'll be like him. And everyone that has this hope in him is purifying himself even as he is pure. Oswald Chambers says, seeing is never believing. We interpret what we see by what we believe. This poor generation of kids, I have to say, are totally being influenced to believe what's not true. And it will influence what they will be. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. What do we want? What do we believe? Who do we believe? That's a good question nowadays, right? It's funny that Jesus said way back, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. If you're looking for which way to go, Jesus said he is. If you're looking for truth, secure yourself in his word. It's the only thing that says it's truth. And if you're looking for life, he promises life. And it's not just for now, it's forever. You can have it now and it's forever. Hope. Is there a sure hope? Yes. The God who promises that he will never leave us or forsake us has given us a book of truth and comforts. Faithful is he that calls, who also will do it. So now I just have a couple things I want to say. Of course, I'm going to quote Oswald Chambers again and then the Daily Bread. And this is him, Oswald Chambers. Faith is not some weak and pitiful emotion, but it's a strong and vigorous confidence built on the fact that God is holy love. The Bible says, keep yourself in the love of God. What is the one thing that's challenged all the time for us as ladies? Does God love us? Does God love me? You know, blah, 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 I do all this, you know. Does he really love me? Is he always going to love me? Yes. And even though you cannot see him right now and cannot understand what he is doing, you know him. Disaster occurs in your life when you lack the mental composure that comes from establishing yourself on the eternal truth that God is holy love. Faith is the supreme effort of our lives. Throwing yourself with abandon and total confidence upon God. God ventured his all in Jesus Christ to save us. And now he wants us to venture our all with total abandon, confidence in him. There are areas in our life where that faith has not worked in us yet, places still untouched by the life of God. There were none of those places in Jesus Christ's life, and there are to be none in ours. Jesus prayed, this is eternal life, that they may know you. The real meaning of eternal life is a life that can face anything it has to face without wavering. Perfect sense. If we will take this view, life will become one great romance, a glorious opportunity of seeing the wonderful things all the time. God is disciplining us to get us into that central place of power. And there is a power in that life. Think of people that have come to you and talked to you about the love of God. It just seems like they know what they're talking about, you know? Okay, here's the Daily Bread. I'm a worrier. Early mornings are the worst because I'm alone with my thoughts. So I taped this quote from Hudson Taylor on my bathroom mirror, where I can see it when I'm feeling vulnerable. And this is small print, that's why I'm hesitating. There is a living God. He has spoken in the Bible. He means what he says and will do what he has promised. That's what she's taped to her marriage. There is a living God who means what he says and will do what he promises. That was from Hudson Taylor. Taylor's words comes from years of walking with God and remind us of us who he is and what he can do through our times of illness, poverty, loneliness, and grief. He didn't merely know that God is trustworthy. He experienced evidence, the trustworthiness. And because he trusted God's promises and obeyed them, thousands of Chinese people gave their lives to Christ. Experiencing God and his ways helped David know that God is trustworthy. He wrote Psalm 145, a song of praise to the God he experienced to be good, compassionate, faithful to all his promises. When we trust and follow God, we realize or understand better that he is who he says he is, and he's faithful to his word in us. And like David, we respond by praising him and telling others about him. When we face worrisome times, God can help us not to falter in our walk with him, for he is trustworthy. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Can you pray with me? Father, we thank you so much for this time together. Pray that the words that you've given me, Lord, will work in our hearts and do that which you have sent it out to do, Lord, that it will accomplish that work in us that you know each one of us need. We all don't need the same things. We're all individuals, Lord, and we're all in different places. And yet, Father, you promised to meet each one of us in those places. Help us to know you more. Help us to love you more, Lord. Help us to trust you more. We love you and we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.